Amen. Thank you. You know, folks, just to show you that I have a lot to learn. I thought that was a telephone. It's actually a tablet. So pray for your pastor on these electronic devices. Let's all stand together. Turn with me to Mark chapter 13, if you would. We're talking about the end times, and it's not an easy concept, but it's very, very important. And so this morning we're looking at Mark chapter 12, verses 14 to 23. And we find our Lord Jesus answering the question of the disciples. He says here in Mark chapter 13, verses 14 to 23, he says, "When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is in the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, those who are nursing babes in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter. For in those days there will be tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Then if anyone says, 'You look, here is the Christ,' or 'Look, he is there,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the promises that we have in your scripture. We thank you for your indwelling spirit that you've given us. And we thank you, Lord, that you have made us alive, we who were once dead in our trespasses and sin. And now, Lord, we have been made alive through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I just pray that you may bless us and encourage us. Lord, help us to understand the things that are coming to pass. And Father, I just pray that you help us to remain faithful. Help us, dear God, to continually to be light and salt. And Lord, we ask that you would bless us now, dear Father. In all these things, we praise you and we ask and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As you remember that our Lord Jesus had left the temple, we've been going through the last week of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we learned that he's been in the temple. It's on a Wednesday, teaching the multitudes. And finally, we learned that he takes the disciples away from the temple, and they are sitting outside of the city of Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives. And we find ourselves looking at chapter 13 to give you the background before we continue on. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. Very, very important. It says that when he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here." And you have to understand, as I mentioned last week, that when it came to the temple, Herod's temple in Jerusalem, it was one of the great wonders of the Roman world. It was made of white marble. Some of the stones were as long as 20 feet long, 12 feet high, and 12 feet wide. Massive, massive stones. We learned that on the east side of the temple, there are plates of gold all over the temple wall. So when the sun would rise up, you'd see the glistening of the sun off of these golden plates. And it was magnificent, according to what I have read in Josephus and other books. And so they were talking to our Lord Jesus because the Lord talked about the house of God being desolate. And so they talked to the Lord and said, "Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us." Now, this is very, very important. Because he answers their questions very specifically. And they say, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all things will be fulfilled? If you look at Matthew, they're saying, Lord, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your second coming? Now you have to understand something. He's going to answer the question in two ways or two parts. Number one, he's going to talk about the destruction of the temple. And he's going to talk about the signs of his coming. So we have the immediate future and then the far future. And he talks about the immediate future. He says to them, look at verse 5. And we talked about this last week. I'm just giving us a little bit of background here. It says here, Jesus answering them in verse 5 began to say, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. In other words, everything's going to be going along. Even today, there are false Christs. Even today, there are wars and rumors of wars. These things have been taking place. But Jesus now begins to share that when the time is growing near, it's going to be like birth pangs. Remember, some of you ladies remember this, when you were pregnant. And as the time drew near, you begin to have birth pangs. And it wasn't until, you know, really you have those contractions at least 1 minute apart. And then, you know, you've learned that until they're really close, then you go to the hospital, don't you? Or some of you, I know some of you have children at home. So, you know, or you call for the midwife. So Jesus says it's going to be like that. There are going to be wars, rumors of wars. All kinds of trouble. It says in verse 8, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are all the beginning of sorrows. But as you can tell, it's going to be something that's going to be very rapidly happening. But watch out for yourselves, he tells his disciples, and we see this fulfilled, by the way, in the book of Acts. But watch out for yourselves that they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues and will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must be first preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And so we learn here that Christ begins to share with his disciples not only the far future, but what's going to happen even immediately. And you see, all you have to do is read the book of Acts. Were the disciples brought before councils and kings? Yes, they were. And there's been tribulation for Christians for many, many years. In fact, if any of you get the Voice of the Martyrs, you'll find that Christians all over the world, in fact, it's escalated, hasn't it? When it comes to Christians standing up for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, this is just the beginning. Now you have to understand that our Lord Jesus is talking to 12 Jewish men about their temple. And they're thinking about the kingdom to come because they believe the Messiah, when he comes, he's going to set up his kingdom. Jesus begins to share with them that something first must take place before all these things are fulfilled, before his second coming. He now talks about the great tribulation. One of the signs of the great tribulation, by the way, is the abomination of desolation. And so we read here that he shares with his disciples, number one, let me just give you the outline here. There's going to be a desecration. There's going to be a time of great distress as there never was since the beginning of the world. And number two, there's going to be great deception. Now, I'll answer the question because you're going to say, well, where's the church in all of this? I'll answer that in just a moment. Well, maybe in a few more moments. You're not going to find him mentioning the church in here. It's very important. But he is talking about the future. You may wonder, what's going to happen after this? How do we know Jesus is coming? Well, he tells his disciples specifically, as they're asking him about the temple, about the second coming, he says, you guys need to watch out for this. Let's look at the first part here, the desecration. In verse 14, he says to them, and when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, and this is interesting because both Mark and Matthew are looking beyond the disciples. As the Holy Spirit guides them, they write this, let the reader understand. This is going beyond this generation, beloved. But let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him who is on the housetop go down into his house, or not go down into his house, nor enter or take anything out of his house. Now you have to understand this. When you talk to a Jewish person about the abomination of desolation, their mind goes back into history about 167 B.C. to a man that was named Antiochus of Epiphanes. This man was a wicked, godless man. And he came in and he defiled the temple. This is in between the Testaments. He comes in. He tells the people, I'm going to worship Zeus. And he begins to cast out all the Jews. And he begins to set up an idol to Zeus. And he defiles the temple. Jesus says, just like it happened back then, the temple of God is going to be defiled. And we learned last week that not only was the temple defiled, but it was destroyed. And so you have to understand that perspective. Go with me to Daniel chapter 9, would you? Going all the way back to Daniel, Daniel talks about this as a future event. Daniel chapter... We'll look at one passage. There's like three areas that Daniel mentions the abomination of desolation. One is Daniel 9, another is Daniel 11. Let's look at Daniel chapter 12. As it talks about the end times. Daniel chapter 12. Most of the Jews knew about prophecy. They knew about the abomination of desolation. In Daniel chapter 12, it says this. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of what? There shall be a time of trouble. Guess what that is? Tribulation. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 calls it Jacob's trouble. Not only is Jacob troubled, not only does the tribulation begin there, but it extends to the whole world. So he says, there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame or contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and listen to this, knowledge shall increase. Are we in the age of knowledge? It's amazing, isn't it? Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this river bank and the other on that river bank. And one said to him, clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river. Then he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever, there shall be for a time, times, and half a time. How long is that? 3.5 years. The abomination of desolation, after that, there's 3.5 years. And when the power of the holy people had been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time of that daily sacrifice, is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. How many days is that? 3.5 years. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. That's after those 3.5 years. But you go your way to the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. You might say, Pastor, what does all that mean? Jesus is talking to men, to Jewish men regarding Israel. And he says to them, look, there are going to be wars and rumors of wars, but let me tell you when you should really watch out. Let me tell you when it seems like the Son of Man and the coming of the Son of Man is at the doorstep. When you see the abomination of desolation, when you see this man of lawlessness in the temple, he says, then you need to flee. Now, was there a temple during that time? Yes, there was. And that temple was destroyed. That was Herod's temple. If you go back there in Jerusalem right now, there is no temple. There are no sacrifices. That was stopped in AD 70 AD through General Titus. And so Jesus talks about that. But let me tell you, folks, before Christ comes back, there's going to be another temple. There's going to be another temple, and there's going to be another abomination of desolation. And so Jesus begins to warn them, look out for this. We learn through Daniel chapter 9, there's going to be a covenant with a man of lawlessness. He's going to bring peace to the Middle East. And he's going to make a covenant with Israel for guess how long? 7 years. And 3.5 years will pass, and he'll go into the temple. He'll defile the temple. He's not going to set up a statue to Zeus, but he's going to say, now you folks are going to worship me. He's going to set himself up. And that's when everything breaks loose. And when the Jews begin to fight against him, there can be persecution like there never was. Not only against the Jews, but anybody who has put their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. Very important, beloved. Now, the first question that people go through is like, where am I in all this? Where's the United States? You ever thought about that? Well, I don't see the United States in here. Well, it doesn't talk about the United States. But, beloved, let me tell you, this is talking about Israel to these Jewish men, about their temple. It's also talking about their land. Where is the church? Church isn't here. It's not here. It is believed that the church has been taken. And we'll talk about that later on. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians, would you? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica because false teachers had come in and said, you know what, you guys missed the second coming of Jesus. And Paul began to share with them, look, you guys did not miss it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We learn that these people, they thought that Christ has already come. The false teachers were teaching that. They were discouraged. Listen to what Paul says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ has come. So there was some false letter out there that happened to have Paul's name out there that wasn't from him. And let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless what? The falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, and the son of perdition. Now, there are many teachings what that could possibly be. Some believe it's going to be a falling away of Israel. Some say there's going to be a great apostasy. No one's really dogmatic with that. But he says there's going to be a falling away from the Lord. Look at verse 4. This man of perdition, this son of perdition, we call him also the beast, we call him the little horn, we call him different things, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he sits as what? He sits as God where? In the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's what this man is going to do. That's the abomination of desolation. That didn't happen in 70 AD. But that's going to happen in the future. He says in verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. See, God is restraining him. Some people believe this is the Holy Spirit restraining him. Some believe it's the church. But something is restraining this man of lawlessness. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. And the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power. Listen to what he does. Signs and lying wonders. And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie and that they may be condemned who do not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So Paul is talking to them, look guys, the coming of the Lord hasn't happened yet. We're still in this age called the church age or the age of grace, this new covenant. Christ has ascended to heaven. And we're waiting for the Lord to come back, aren't we? And so we see here as Jesus is talking to the disciples, you might wonder, well, why didn't he mention the church? Because it would be very confusing for these men. They don't even know what the church is yet. The beginning of the church happens after the ascension of Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes down and there's a birth of the church. So he doesn't mention it because they're like, it would be much more confusing for them. Nor does Christ mention the rapture because that has to do with the church. What he mentions here is the temple, and he mentions the land, and he mentions the people. It's very important because remember, they want to know when the destruction of the temple is going to take place. What are the signs of Christ's second coming? Very important. We learn through Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, there is a temple in the future. Let me tell you, folks, if you read in the newspaper that Israel's building a temple, you better start witnessing like mad. Because it's coming. I don't know if we'll see it in our lifetime. We might. I heard that they're preparing. I heard that they're getting clothed, their clothes ready and everything. I don't know how it's going to be possible with the dome on the rock, of the rock on that site. We don't know. But the scripture teaches us that there is going to be a temple and there's going to be sacrifices again. So he tells his people, he tells his disciples, there's going to be another abomination of desolation. Very interesting. Go back with me to Mark chapter 13. He says things to them that probably isn't very popular. But we learn that the tribulation, we believe it's the 70th week of Daniel, is a time of great tribulation. In fact, supernatural things are going to take place. In fact, Mark goes on to say, along even with Matthew, such as never happened since the creation. Listen to what he says, verse 15. Let him who is in the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of the house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babes in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter. What is he talking about? Great persecution breaks out. For in those days there will be what? Tribulation such as has not been since when? The beginning of creation which God created until this time. Nor ever shall be. This is catastrophic. This is even worse than the Noetic flood. Supernatural things. What you have to do, if you want to see more of a glimpse of this, is you read Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19. That talks about the great tribulation. It talks about the seven seals on the scroll. And out of the seven seals are the seven trumpets. And out of the seven trumpets are the seven bowls. All of those things are judgments upon the earth and upon Israel. Scary stuff. Because of the rejection of Christ Jesus. And so we see the sons of Israel. And they're asking the Lord Jesus, what's going to happen? And he says to them, things that have never happened since the creation of the earth and never will happen again. A great tribulation. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24, would you? Matthew chapter 24. There's going to be a great tribulation. And Matthew says, since the beginning of the world. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 15. So Jesus is telling his disciples, this is what you have to look for. First of all, that temple that you're admiring is going to be destroyed. Doesn't tell him when. Then he goes on to say, but what you want to look for when it comes to the second coming, look for the abomination of desolation. When you see that, it's time to run for your lives. 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place where it reads, let him understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is in the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babes in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh shall be saved. This is not just locally, folks. It begins in Judea, but this is worldwide. He says, no one will be left. Look at verse 23. Or look at the second part, 22. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Do you realize that during the tribulation, people will come to Christ? There will still be the elect. There were the elect before the church. There's going to be the elect after the church. We have to understand that. So he says he's going to shorten those days for their sake. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. At that time of great tribulation, people are going to be looking for hope. And these false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Guess what? The man of lawlessness, when he rises up, he's also going to have his own prophet. And they're going to do all kinds of signs and wonders. People will be deceived. And so he's sharing this with his disciples. And you can imagine, the disciples were hoping Jesus was going to tell them that he's going to set up his kingdom and everything's going to be wonderful. Jesus is now talking about many years to come. You see, this church age that we live in is a mystery. If you read Jewish theology, they thought when the Messiah comes, he's going to come, he's going to judge the nations, he's going to judge Israel, and he's going to bring back the great kingdom of David. And so they're expecting that to happen. So this church age that we have is a mystery. They don't realize there's going to be a first coming and a second coming. They saw them all together. And that's the mystery there. Now, what is important is that we have to ask ourselves, well, where are we? Well, the church, like I said before, is not mentioned in here. Because it is believed that the church is going to be taken, that the rapture will have been taking place. And I know there are different views on that. But the church is not there. You know what the 70th week is also called? We'll find this in Revelation chapter 6. It's called the wrath of the Lamb. How is it that the wrath of the church or the bride of Christ will be a part of the wrath of the Lamb? It doesn't make any sense. But I think there are certain verses that we need to look at regarding this, the rapture of the church and where the church is going to be at. Go with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, would you? How many of you here read the whole book of Revelation? It's kind of tough, isn't it? I've tried to preach through the book of Revelation. Let me tell you, it's tough. It's tough to try to cheer people up when you're talking about judgment over and over and over again. But we know that God is a God of holiness and justice, and He's going to judge the earth. And judgment begins in Jerusalem, by the way. Revelation chapter 3, remember as the Lord speaks to the different churches? In Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, we learn that the Lord gives them promises. And we learn that these promises were universal to those who are saved. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse 10, He talks to the church of Philadelphia. Look at verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut, for you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Remember, he talks about the seven churches. This is one of the seven. Verse 9, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Now, I want you to look at verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from what? From the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole earth to test those who dwell on the earth. And so you look at this, and the word is to keep you. It's the word ek. It means out of. And it seems like it's talking about there's going to be a preservation of His saints here. It's one of the verses used that the bride of Christ will not go through the wrath of the Lamb. And so, beloved, the church is not in here. We're going to be with the Lord. Let me show you another passage. John chapter 14. Go with me to John. The Gospel of John. Remember when Jesus was comforting His disciples, they knew that He was going away. Not only was He going to the cross, He was going to resurrect and walk the earth for 40 days. 500 witnesses will see Him, but He'll be taken in the ascension. And in John chapter 14, I use this often in funerals. And I want you to see something what the Lord says here. In John chapter 14, Jesus is comforting His disciples. And He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. You guys know this passage. For if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And as you know, there was Thomas, and he was asking the Lord where he was going. Remember that? Now, Jesus, when He's sharing this with His disciples, He's giving them a picture of a Jewish wedding. In a Jewish wedding, when a man and woman were betrothed and they were married, the woman will be taken to her home with the bridal party, and the man will go to his father's house to do what? To prepare a place for her. And at any moment, the bridegroom was going to come and take his bride to his father's house. Guess for how long? 7 days. And there is where they consummate the marriage. Well, beloved, we are the bride of Christ. And we have been betrothed to Jesus Christ. And we're waiting for our bridegroom to come. He's going to come and he's going to take us to the Father's house for the 70th week of Daniel, for 7 years. And so this follows right in line with that. That the Lord says, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And of course, he answers the famous question. He says to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so even this Jewish marriage, as it shows it, there seems to be that the church is not going to be in the tribulation. But I know there are other views out there, and it's important that we study them. And so we just look at the scripture and we realize, is the church going to be there? Pastor, am I going to be in this great tribulation? Not if you're redeemed. Not if you're a part of the bride of Christ. You're not going to be in there. So for me, that gives me a lot of comfort. Because you read the book of Revelation, you're like, whoa. Am I going to be in all that chaos? I don't think we will be. And I just giving you the weight of evidence, I believe, shows us that we will not be there. There are other passages, but we won't have time to look at that. So, beloved, please understand this. That time of tribulation in Revelation 6:17 is called the wrath of the Lamb. It just doesn't make any sense to me that the wrath of the Lamb will be poured out upon His bride. It doesn't make any sense to me. And so that's why I truly believe, along with these other verses, that we're going to be taken up. We're going to be taken up. And I believe that at that time, the man of lawlessness will be revealed. And the covenant with Israel. Go with me to Daniel chapter 9. We'll see this. Go back with me to the book of Daniel. So we look at this and we realize, wow, there's some serious things that are going to take place. Well, beloved, I got to tell you, when it comes to Israel, 2 out of 3 individuals of Israel will be killed. It's going to be a great tribulation upon Israel. But 1/3 will be left. And that will be the remnant. Daniel chapter 9. Look at verse 25. He says to Daniel, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Well, if you add that up, 7 weeks representing years and 62 weeks representing years, it adds up to about 482 or 83, I can't remember. And we learn that... Or 84, sorry. We learned that falls right in line in the last week of our Lord's life. It says here, and the street will be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. Look at verse 26. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be what? See the word cut off? That has to do with death. This is talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. After the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. And not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy what? The city and what else? Sanctuary. That happened in 70 AD, didn't it? The end of it shall be with the flood. Now this happened locally, but now he gets where it changes now, where it becomes now globally. The end of it shall be with the flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for how long? 1 week. This is a covenant the Antichrist makes with Israel. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to what? Sacrifice and offerings. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. So we see here in this prophecy, we see the coming of Christ. We see the death of Christ. We see the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the sanctuary, which happened in 70 AD. But we also see a further prophecy. There's going to be a covenant. And there's once again going to be an abomination of desolation. That's still in the future. So for right now, we're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God. The rapture can happen at any time. But I can just simply say this, there is going to be a temple in Israel. And it's going to be violated again. And for the Jews, that's what they need to look for. And when that happens, Jesus says, it's not time to evangelize, it's time to run. In 70 AD, General Titus surrounded Israel, destroyed the temple, crucified over 1 million men. So many men, they ran out of wood. And so we see a near fulfillment, and we're going to see a far fulfillment. So, very important, beloved. Just trying to encourage you, to let you know that what's going to happen. And Mark is writing to Gentiles for them to see also. Remember that Jesus is talking to 12 Jewish men about Israel's temple and about the land of Israel. And it begins right there. So this is what's going to take place. Maybe someday I'll preach Revelation chapter 6 to 19, but that's going to take some time. We'll wait on that one. So let me just simply say this, beloved. God's wrath is real, isn't it? God's wrath is real. There are a lot of people that we talk to and they don't even think about the wrath of God. They don't think about righteousness. They don't think about God's judgment. Part of evangelizing is you have to bring people to think about these things. These are spiritual things. This life is short and it's temporary. God's wrath is real. The lake of fire is real. God's punishment is real and it's eternal. So my question, beloved, is where do you stand when it comes to the Lord? Now, most of you know that Jesus came into this world to do what? To save sinners. And he did. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God's divine Son, came into this world. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He's God in the flesh. And we learned that at the age of 30 or 33, that he was crucified. He paid the ultimate price, the penalty for sinners, and 3 days later he resurrected from the dead. And you might say, well, Pastor, I believe that. I believe Jesus died. He was buried and resurrected. Beloved, did you know that the demons believe that too? But there's no salvation for them. See, those are facts, but that's not conversion. It's very important we understand this. The Word of God calls us, beloved, to repent and to put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. I'm glad you believe that Jesus died, that he was buried and he resurrected. Have you repented of your sin? Are you trusting in Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's what the Lord calls us to do. And so it's important that we do that, beloved. That we trust the Lord, that we repent of our sin, that we surrender our life to Christ. You see, conversion looks like that. With conversion, there's a change of heart and a change of mind, a change of behavior. There's a change of life. So my question to you is this. Are you saved? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you surrendered your life to Him? Have you repented? I trust that you have. And I pray that you have. Because there are going to be a lot of people during this time. And they're going to enter into the great tribulation. And let me tell you, it's going to be very hard for them. We don't know where we are regarding the rapture or the last days. But I believe we are in the last days. We have to just pray that God keep us faithful. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We're going to get ready for the Lord's table. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Father, I thank you as you're sharing with us the future regarding Israel and what's going to happen with her. And we thank you, Lord, there's a remnant. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your promises. We thank you for your great salvation. And now, Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to warn others of the wrath to come, because your punishment, your wrath is real. And I just pray, Father, that you would please help us be faithful to share your word. Because you said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life. So, Father, just help us be faithful witnesses. Help us, Father, be faithful to disciple. We ask your blessing now upon this time, and all these things we pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.